everybody, and welcome along to this week's edition of the Irish Golfer Podcast. Peter Finnan here, and joined in studio by Ronan McNamara. How are you, Ronan?
We're back.
We're back, baby. And then out in the frozen west of Ireland, Mark McGowan.
Out in the tundra, yeah. New year, new me.
New year,
can't
new
wait. You. Let's get at it.
Nah, it's good. It's been since the middle of December since we actually all got together and had a pod. So we'd have been an extended gap away from this sort of stuff. There's not like, yeah, I'd like to say there hasn't been much happening, but like, yeah, so the whole world seems to have changed. Tiger pecks off from Nike. John Rahm signs for Liam. Keith Live Golf. Keith Pelly's gone. Slumber's gone. So yeah, a few little things to talk about throughout the thing. But how are you getting on anyway? All good. Ronan, how are you getting on?
I'm hanging in. It's been a shaky start to the year, but I'm hanging in.
Me are back.
I'm telling you, lads, Colm's boys are coming. They're coming.
And out in Sligo, Donegal are back, I believe, as well.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying. Once Jimmy took the reins, we all knew what was happening.
Once he keeps away from the miners now, we'll be okay. Be good. Anyway, let's get stuck into the golf. There's plenty to get stuck into. It's Dubai Invitational, bit of a mad tournament this week. Limited 60 player field, no cut, never catch on. But there we are, start of the DP World season this year. Did you get to watch it for a start? Did anybody watch it? I actually did.
I'll let Ronan go first.
I watched a good bit of this. I always do. I was saying earlier in the office here that I like the DP World Tour when it's in Dubai. It's on at a nice time. You know, you can get up at 7:30, 8:00, and there it is. You can get the whole thing, and by 12:30, it's over. You still have the day to yourself. So I watched the majority of the four rounds on the Saul of McIlroy's trials and tribulations. There was a real mix of the good and the bad in there. But as always, DP World Tour in Dubai, this was another really, really good tournament that they put on. Good fields, and it was dramatic right until the final putt. So a great start to golf back on the DP World Tour, I'd have to say.
Yeah, it was nice to have sort of two big players going at it in a final group. That's it. Like, I know if Tommy and Rory are the two highest ranked players in the field, they should be out of that sort of field that they've assembled there going at it, but that doesn't always happen like that. So the tournament got what they really wanted for the start of the year, and then the final round just served up some serious drama. It was unreal to watch. Like I was drifting in and out. Rory 62 got me going on the Thursday. I was definitely the ears pricked up for that, but then trucking into Sunday, it was just took on a whole nother dimension of Rory McIlroy. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I watched bits and pieces of it over the first 3 days, but then I watched all of the back nine. I probably picked Rory up about the eighth on Sunday, and watched all of the back nine. I was actually had a tea time myself, and had they gone to a playoff, I would have had been watching in the car as I drove over to the course. So it's good. It's probably good for anybody that lives between Cliff and Ross's Point that Fleetwood hold that putt. But at the start of the season's always, you know, it's always hard to read too much into it. It was a good field for a DP World Tour event. But at the same time, Fleetwood and McIlroy were quite clearly the two standout players in the field. So, to get them dueling it out in the final group on Sunday, was the tournament organizers couldn't really drawn it up any better. And there was like drama galore in that back nine. I mean, Fleetwood provided a drama on the last two holes, but the five or six holes before that, it was kind of like peak Rory and then absolute trough Rory. You know, that three putt he had from what was it, 2 feet on, I think it was the 14th, was, I mean, it was just like insanely criminal. And then to turn around and pour in a 20 footer on the next hole, it was just madness to watch. Fantastic view, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pure Rory, isn't it? Like literally that 9 hole stretch of golf summed up the last 10 years of Rory's career in those 9 holes. It was just like roller coaster. He goes into like cruise control, bops in a few birdies, gets himself in contention, has a putt to go ahead, and Tree jags it out of nowhere, and then, like you say, follows up on the next. Like, only Rory could follow up on the next, then holding the 25-30 footer, and then kick on. Then Dewey does an 18. I just don't get it on 18. Like, I don't. Like, I know it's, there's no, it's not that there's no pressure, but he's in contention so much. Like, it is an awful shot for a pro of his quality and his caliber to hit on the last hole, but pressure does awful things, especially to Rory, yeah. I assume. But yeah, it's so early in the season, I wouldn't read much into it. But at the same time, it's so early in the season. Do you think Rory will learn anything from it? Like, do you think he'll change anything at all? I don't.
Not really. I don't think... look, Rory's season is going to be judged on pretty much one thing and one thing alone anyway. It's always going to be whether he wins a major or not. That's like, realistically, if he won the Dubai Desert Classic last year at his first start, and I know he's got that, he's defending champion there this week, but again, whether he wins or doesn't win in Dubai is not going to change kind of the way anybody in the golfing world views Rory. It's just going to be a case of whether he can win another major championship. That's gonna sort of really define whether it's a good season for Rory or not. So
yeah, but he has come out saying that he's going to play a hell of a lot more golf before the Masters this year, and you don't want recent scar tissue of being in the mix and not getting it done, being in the mix and not getting it done. That's all. Yeah, they're irrelevant tournaments to him overall, but he needs to be building. Like, you know, he is going away there with more questions than answers going away from into this week. Now, he could win doing handstands this week and it's all forgotten about, but, you know, statistics show that he doesn't win doing handstands very much anymore. But yeah, this week will be very interesting to see how he kicks on from it. There's a famous phrase, Ronan, that you were waiting for me to say.
New Year, same Pete. Like, it's interesting. Normally, I wouldn't, you know, read too much into the 3 putt from 2 feet. Like, it's a freak thing, you know, that just happens. We'll see it again from other players throughout the year, I'm sure. But the fact it's Rory McIlroy, it's just another one of these freak, I don't know what it is, like a mind fog thing, a brain fog that he just gets so many times throughout the year. We've seen it over the last 10 years. And that's, I suppose, mildly concerning. I know it's the first event of the year and all that. And then the drive in 18, obviously we've seen that before at the Wells Fargo when he got away with it. That's 3 or 4 years ago now, I think, at this stage, yeah. Against Keith Mitchell. But yeah, he struggles with the lefts off the tee when he's under the cosh. I think I remember in the US Open this year with Wyndham Clark, he had his chance on the par 5 16 to really put the pressure on. I think he drove it left, like way left, and he ended up bogeying the hole. He made further errors after that.
He took an unbelievable drop over the green. That's where he got relief from the face of the bunker, wasn't it?
So, like, these things just tend to happen. Like, McIlroy, he's not the sort of invincible player that he was when he was winning those 4 majors. So I think we just need to accept that this is who he is now. He's not a 100% guarantee to get it over the line, but that's just what makes him so thrilling. Like,
it does add to it. It does add to it.
Like, he's still the best golfer to watch in the world by far, I think. Absolutely. Definitely the most entertaining. Now, that's probably to his detriment at times, but it is the way it is. Like, nothing summed him up more than this tournament. Like, there was so much good stuff. Like, he could have walked away with this, no bother. Like, he's 4 shots ahead nearly halfway through the second round, and he just throws in a random quadruple bogey out of nowhere. And these are things that we've seen from Rory before as well. These random big numbers and holes for no reason whatsoever. Yeah. And all of a sudden he's thrown into a share for the lead. Like, without that quadruple, it would have been interesting to see how far he was ahead at the halfway stage. But look, I expect him to win the Dubai Desert Classic this week. I mean, you kind of just have to. I expect him to win most times he tees it up, but just there's no guarantee with him anymore. But that's what makes him thrilling, and that's what's going to put bums on seats, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I think he's got a new driver in the bag this week. We've often seen it when he's made equipment changes, or when he's put new clubs in the bag. It often seems to take him a little bit of time to get comfortable with it. He'll hit some fantastic drives, but then he'll hit, you know, I think he was really wayward off the tee kind of all week this week, particularly on Sunday. I mean, he had very few fairways.
It's the same miss though, Mark. That's the thing. Like, it's a new driver, but he, like, TaylorMade changed their whole launch of that driver, the QI10, for him to, so he put it in play at the DP World Final. Now, he was using the LS model that week. His miss was left. He's using the standard model this week. So yeah, different driver, same same sort of DNA makeup and stuff like that. And he, like, no, I'm not, he just, it, that left shot is just, it's catastrophic for him under pressure.
Yeah, well, I guess the club head speed he generates when he turns it over, it's gonna miss wider than, you know, somebody swinging a lot slower swing speed. But look, I think in general, he didn't drive the ball well. He spent more time in the water than Michael Phelps this week, and he four still times. Should have. Was it four or five? Was the one on 18 on Sunday the fifth time he was in the water? But either way, the fact that he did all that and still it took like a man finishing birdie to beat him, it's.
Oh, it's impressive.
I'm going to take the positives for that. Don't take a leaf out of your book, Finn. I'm going to take the positives. I think he will kick on.
No, but it is positive. I think it is positive. He's getting himself in the mix. It's just, does he learn for, like, he hasn't learned in the past, and like for a man that, yeah, he's going to be judged by if he gets in contention at the Masters. That's what it's all about for him. He's going to find himself, like he said, he's going to play 9 or 10 tournaments between now and the Masters, which is more than he's ever done. Of those 9 or 10 tournaments, statistics show he's going to be in contention for 6, if not 7 of them. And you know, how he deals with being in contention, how he can like just get those familiar feels back and get some positive vibes will dictate what he does at Augusta if he gets in. It's not the course, it's not the, you know, it is how he deals between now and then with being in the mix. And leaves no sort of gray areas of, oh yeah, when I was in this position last month, I was able to hit this shot and I just executed. That's all I want to see from Rory between now and then.
Yeah. But it's interesting to say, like, we're talking about how great it was that he was in contention. Like, there were so many things to be positive about. Like, I thought he putted brilliantly, but that's going to be overlooked now because that's three buffing 2 feet.
He did have a good putting week.
He did have a really, really good putting week, held it really, really well. Like, the put on 17, like I know we talked about the put on 15 being from 20 feet or whatever, but to step up again on 17 and hold a putt of sort of similar length to the one he missed the second time on the 14th, I thought it was quite impressive. He walked that one in, but you mentioned the Masters there. His driving also kind of went to pieces that time. He shot the 63 in the final round, 63, 62, 63?
Yeah.
63, and he kind of got himself in the fringes of contention. He needed like to do something pretty special, and he never really gave himself the chance. Like, he was all over the place those last 4 or 5 holes. Like, the bunker shot in 18 was brilliant and all, but he had kind of run his course at that stage. So there's little things that when he does kind of get the chance to really step on the gas, he's not doing that at the moment. So that's the one thing that I probably earmark against him.
It's just, it's a from 11 to 17 yesterday. Like, Rory has a great habit of, like, when he has a free roll of the dice, he will go for it. And that's why you're saying we all love him, man. Like, when you look, birdie 11, birdie 12, birdie 13, birdie 15, and it's just that 14th in between. Like, he should have rolled that 2-footer in. And that's tournament over. Like, he is literally smashing people around him, picking up 5 birdies in a row. He birdied 17 in as well, and then does what he does in 18. It's that human element I love about him. It's brilliant. Rory for the Grand Slam. That's it.
Like, I was watching the snooker last night, and Ronnie O'Sullivan did the same thing. He was 6-3 down against Ali Carter, and he was playing all this free for all snooker in the first session in the afternoon, like taking on these ridiculously aggressive safety shots and playing doubles off cushions and everything. once it was, you know, almost like the back nine. This is trophy. Yeah. This is trophy session now. Tuned in.
He reeled off 3 or 4 frails in a row.
Frames in a row, went to 7-all, then he just coasted home. Like, Rory needs to learn how to do that. It was like watching Ronnie was like watching Tiger Woods in his pomp. Just once he gets a sniff, the lads are gone around him. Whereas Rory lets you in, he gives you a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was watching that as well, and I liked your comparison to Tiger there, because Ali Carter just like completely shit the bed, really. Like once O'Sullivan got back on level terms with him, he did
a Molinari like, down that back nine, yeah. in 2019. He did a pure Molinari on it. He's just between Molinari, Poulter, Brooksy, the whole lot, they all just, yeah, the cat just sailed through. That was it.
Yeah, I think there was a key frame. It could have been like was it the last frame where like Carter missed maybe a couple of pots in a row. O'Sullivan let him, you know, gave him chances a couple of times in a row when he came in, and just he wasn't even close to making the pot. But anyway, regardless, we get off the snooker.
It was a good win for Tommy anyway. That's all. Like it was a good win. I just don't like the way the boys are hugging it out so much after they're so friendly. We need a bit of biting golf. I get it that they all get on and they're all good friends, but he's like, when you're going through battle like that, I'd like to see a bit more needle out on the golf course. Don't mind them hugging it out afterwards. But.
Yeah, McIlroy congratulating him after he rolled in the port. I was like, I don't think you'd do that in a major, would you?
No, it's a bit like, yeah, it's too soft.
Like,
for me,
it's like, oh, well done, Tom. You've won the O'Byrne Cup. Well done.
But there were some other good, like further down the line, like the storyline for me this week is definitely this. Ken Weyand or whatever his name is. I know I put it into the Slack group there on Thursday to you, Ronan, as in, can someone get a piece up? And I know you were busy off seeing Liverpool scrape by Fulham. You know that game last week.
Easy dub.
This is just a bonker story. When I seen Eddie Pepperell coming out first, I was like, does he have a point? Doesn't he have a point? What's the story? And when I seen the way this guy finished, like, he finished 72 shots behind Tommy on plus 53 for the 72.
Never mind that. Look where he finished compared to next to last, Jens Dantorp. Like.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness to him, a lot of people listening to this podcast, maybe even including ourselves, broke 94 days on a DP World Tour golf course in tournament condition. Like, don't think many people would do that, in fairness.
Yeah, but you say that. The Edgar lads do that.
True. They're playing off four tees, though.
They're not really. Not on most of the courses, they're not.
You had a couple of birdies, in fairness to him.
Yeah, like, you know, blind squirrels.
And he's in the twos competition.
This guy is the pro, the club pro, when we were going researching it at Michael Jordan's private golf club. In like, it shouldn't happen, but at the same time, he's a tournament invite, like, they're inviting him for a reason. Eddie Pepperell did get his tail up and he came out with some pretty hard hitting stuff about, I don't care if he's Barbie's Ken, he shouldn't be getting an invite and all this stuff. But like, I'm not sure, like, it's not for pros to dictate who gets sponsors, invites and stuff like that. The players need to back off a little bit on that, but like, I can see where Eddie's coming from, but he needs to focus on other things, in my opinion.
Look, financially,
yeah, I'm all for
your man Ken Weyand doesn't need the money. I'd imagine he's well looked after.
Yeah,
but he's just, like, it's not his fault that he's there either. It's an invite. You're not going to turn it down. I don't care who you are, but he shouldn't be there.
It's not
a good look for the tour, no. Especially considering it's a 72 hole no cut. If there was a cut, like, there's no doubt he would have missed it by a distance.
And no one would say anything.
Be completely forgotten about. Yeah, exactly. No one would know who he is or care who he is. But he's walked away with $7,000. He's also taken up a tour start from somebody who may well have benefited from this and could have had a good week and, you know, kickstarted themselves the season. So Eddie Pepperell is right. Eddie Pepperell wouldn't have been there either. So, but look, he took a spot from someone and look, he shouldn't have been there. It's a really bad look for the DP World Tour on a week that they probably didn't really need any negative attention with Pelly.
Eddie's done well from invites as well. Eddie's got a good. I remember Eddie writing some nice letters to the Dubai Duty Free at the Irish Open, and I remember him going on podcast. He got new kitchens. Yeah. He got new kitchen and everything now of the one up in Royal County Down that Soren Kielsen won, I think. So yeah, he's done well. He's done well. So don't be giving out, Eddie. Just cool the jets. There'll be plenty more chances.
No, I'm all for sponsors. Like, allow getting a place or two places in a tournament. I mean, it wouldn't exist without the sponsors putting up the money. So
exactly,
like, they definitely are allowed to pull their weight a little bit. I'm just curious as to what the sponsor got out of inviting Ken Weyand. Why not invite Michael Jordan himself? Like,
yeah, but outside of Rory and Tommy, Ken Wayand has taken up all the column inches for the wrong reason. So, like, he's put them on the map.
It's far from Michael Block, this fellow was raised.
He is a quarter of the blockies, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't subscribe to the all publicity is good publicity mantra. if they give Michael Jordan a spot, if they want to get in with the Grove in some way or whatever, why not give Michael Jordan a spot? Like, the whole world would be talking about Michael Jordan playing in this. And Michael Jordan probably wouldn't have fared that much worse than Ken Wayand did. Like,
no, it was still a good tournament. I'm slagging Frankie there a minute ago, Molinari. It's good to see him back in the leaderboard up there. Your man as well. I had to laugh, actually, RTE the other day when I was watching their round report. Yannick Paul was up in contention, and they called him Paul Yannick. I think that's going to stick for the rest of the year. We're calling him Paul Yannick for the rest of the year. That's it. So it's good to see Paul Yannick up there. Maronk was up there. Hodgaard, like, really good. It is a really good leaderboard for a DP World.
I think the Dubai events always produce really, really good leaderboards, though. Yeah. Like you mentioned there, that Fleetwood and Rory going head to head there, you said it was kind of rare that you get it. I think it happens a lot of the time. The big names always do well over in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, I think. Yeah. Now, maybe that's something to do with the depth of quality in the fields, but like, it always produces big names this time of year.
No, it was good.
It was good to see as well that a lot of the European lads who got their 10 PGA Tour cards through the Race to Dubai last year, a lot of them played in Dubai. Like, the Sony Open was on opposite it. The first event, it's a shortened PGA Tour season. Like, to retain your PGA Tour card for next year, you can't really afford to get behind the eight ball early on in the season. So it was great from a DP World Tour point of view to see those lads actually, teeing it up in Dubai. Now, I don't know, maybe they were getting appearance money to be there as well.
Yeah, they were playing. It was a pro-am format for the first 3 days, so they were playing with a lot of decent heavy hitters in sort of global golf terms, I suppose, business-wise. So
it was a 50-50 split between the 10 players. So five went to the PGA Tour and five played here. But I think the best five definitely stayed and played in Dubai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, agreed. It was good. And looking down the leaderboard as well from our own, we had Tom McKibben teeing it up as well. Tom had an okay week. He had a poor enough finish, two double bogeys on Sunday, close out with a 72, one over par. But all in all, tied 25th, first week back. New set of bats in the bag as well. Like, he's gone full Callaway now, that's it. So he's left TaylorMade under contract and signed new contract with Callaway, so he's gone full AI Smoke now, that's it.
AI Smoke.
He's done, he's AI smoking it the whole way. New ball, it's a big difference. New golf ball will be a big difference because he was using the TaylorMade TP5 since he turned pro. So new ball will be a big difference. And he seems to have coped quite well. Like, he's still, his birdie count was still well up. He finished 5 under for the week. And still, I think he had 16 birdies, 16 gains for the week. So it's just ironing out those mistakes. But yeah, Tom is, he's in again this week, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in again this week with Rory McIlroy and Padraig Harrington, apparently.
Yeah, no, Harrington
is shaking off the old collapsed lung.
The pneumonia. He's got
one more, so he doesn't need to do it.
But yeah, no, it was good. Anything else from Dubai then?
Tristan Lawrence, that man's a good player. Everyone was saying he's going to spoil the party, and I was just sitting there thinking, I have no problem this fellow wins. This guy's a classy player.
He's a unit, isn't he?
He's a big man.
Him and Fox, I'd love to see Fox going head
in the front rows.
Like the hippos go at each other with the mouth open there, going with the tusks, just banging the faces off each other.
Yeah, for those of us who piled on a few too many pounds over Christmas, it's always healthy to see a good thick lad coming down the fairways in contention.
A full back coming at you hard.
a lot of the Christmas period was dominated by how old Luke Littler looks. This fella's 27. Like, I could have sworn he was 35, 36.
Is he 27?
27. Like, he's still a very young player. He's won four times in the DP World Tour, 67th in the world. Like, this fella's going to be a very good player.
That is mad, yeah. Right. enough on Dubai. PGA Tour, were you watching it last night? I watched this now. I stayed up to watch this.
Yeah, I watched the closing stretch of it as well. I'll tell you, the first 2 weeks of the PGA Tour, for anybody that's been a great motivator for anybody doing Dry January.
No, Chris, I definitely have. I actually have that in my notes as well. If John Daly's teeing it up this week, I'm lumping the mortgage onto him, because this is just like Alco's coming back from redemption the last 2 weeks. That's it.
John Daly's not off the beer, is he?
No, but like he can redeem himself by winning something. But no, it was good. Like Grayson, like I think that's his first win since like 2017 at the Barbasol.
Yeah, he won something like the Barbasol. Yeah.
Like, that's a long time. Like, the only thing that I remember Grayson Murray doing yet is just acting the pure Mick. And then didn't he get involved with Rory last year? Rory, like, in the players' meeting, and he told Rory to fuck off.
A penny
walked out of the meeting.
A penny for the thoughts of his great friend, Kevin Na.
Yeah.
They were going at it for years, the two of them, jibing away on Twitter.
Yeah. And Grayson. Like when he told Rory to feck off last year, anyway, walked out of a meeting. But Rory told him, "There's one way to get it sorted: just play better." At least he listened.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, that was Rory's whole mantra at that time: was just play better, and you'd be fine. So it is good to see him back. But like, I don't think the lads in the policy board and the PGA Tour want to see too many guys like this getting into all the signature events and doing. Like, he's a good news story, but yeah, I don't know. For me, he's a rebound waiting to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, for viewers, it's good. Yeah, there's gonna be a Grayson Murray incident of some description in one of the big events, and we're gonna look back and say we wouldn't have had that without him winning in the Sony. So we can thank him for the Sony at the time.
Yeah, and we do need bad guys. Like, we do need the sort of, you know, good guy, bad guy situation. With it was hard not to root for him, I suppose, looking at it, because you know what he's been through. Like, in fairness to him, he's come off the Corn Ferry last year and just kicked straight on and like literally took to it again like a duck to water, which I did not see. And now he's in all the signature events, which is huge.
He lost a lot of weight as well. Like, he looks
he's obviously doing the right things.
This is the time of year where the DP World Tour events in Dubai have the one up on the Hawaii events. Like, the field is shocking here. Top 10 is woeful.
Yeah, but the world ranking difference then is shocking. Like, the how weighted it is towards PGA Tours. That's an age old thing at this stage. But yeah,
I really wanted Carl Ewan to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how can you shoot a 63 and not even get into the playoff, man?
Yeah.
I wanted him to win until that drop on 18.
Yeah, that's amazing. He really shoot 63. He shot 65. Yeah. It was the worst.
Oh, it was just real.
Like, it was atrocious, because the thing cleared the...
It's
like
the other side of the roof. Yeah. The grandstand. It's
there'd be lads aiming over the hospitality.
It was the other
side
of the roof of the houses. The houses alongside the fairway. It was in some fella's backyard. Three roads over. Like, it was miles out.
No, it's a good story. Like, it is a good story. Ewan story, that obviously Ram heading off, he was losing his card, then he gets back in. But like, for him to get in the mix then in his first tournament back is really good. But yeah, I just think it's mad that there's no consistency around the rulings around stuff like this. Like, it went to
TV to get the ruling, didn't it?
TV showed it, cleared the thing.
Yeah, and they were like,
people inside said it hit the roof and stuff like that. Fuck, like, it did not hit the roof. Imagine if you were like, because PGA Tour are all about, you know, you go on any of the American partnerships, they have like DraftKings and all betting coming into golf. Like, a lot of people stake a lot of money on golf now, and they're looking at this as a revenue stream. And with rulings like that, it's just, there's so much at stake. It shouldn't be happening.
Like, the term they use was virtual certainty. It went into the hospitality tent.
Yeah.
And where's the golf ball? How come you can't find it?
Yeah.
Like, scandalous. His swing, though, is bloody brilliant, though.
Yeah, no, he is a good player. He is a good player.
And we nearly had an Irishman win in there, actually. Keegan Bradley.
Yeah. I can never get used to his glitches.
I don't mind him so much. I won't even say he's polarizing. I think most people hate him. But I actually like Bradley for some reason. He's slow at everything, but he's not egregiously slow. He just takes a long time with his sort of like his back and forth. It's kind of like, you know, unable to kind of step into the shot. But once he actually does step in and get over the ball, like, he's pretty quick. I mean, if you compare that to the likes of a Brian Harman or somebody like that, who's over the ball for ages and backs off it and gets back over it again and looks up and down and 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 eventually pulls the trigger. I'd rather watch Bradley kind of like, you know, sort of jaunting about behind it and then stepping in and swinging.
I just can never get that impressionist guy out of my head, walking around like a dinosaur behind
Hamlet or something.
So good. Yeah. It is the best impression ever.
I have a bit of a, not a soft spot for Bradley, but I don't hate him like everybody else seems to. Like I felt bad for him when the Netflix cameras were outside his house before Zach Johnson was going to ring him about the Ryder Cup, and he was like, oh, sure, the Netflix cameras are coming up, surely I'm on the team, and he wasn't, and everyone had to go then. But I think the Ryder Cup misses someone like him.
Yeah.
Especially the Americans, like Reed's obviously gone, DeChambeau's gone, like Bradley's a real, and Poulter's obviously gone from a European point of view, but it doesn't really seem to matter that much. Like, he's a real get-in-your-face kind of fella, you know, get the crowd going, like really interrogating kind of a fella, intimidating. Like, I like that kind of player in a Ryder Cup.
No, he's good. It's good to see him back featuring again as well, you know. But did either of you see Siwoo Kim's birdie putt that hung on the edge on like day two, I think it was? Didn't you see that?
No.
So he put from off the green, right? This is bonkers. He put from off the green and snuck onto the green, this sort of downhill left to right. It literally stopped on the edge. So he's off the green, like he's 5 yards to walk and to get to the green, another five. So he's slow pacing up. This ball is hanging over the edge of the hole, right? So Matt Kuchar is playing with him and Kuchar's over looking at it. He walks up. Boys are putting the shadows over. Like, they waited a good, it's a good minute, like 45, 50 seconds, and the ball drops and they call the referee out. Obviously, they've gone beyond time, but Matt Kuchar was telling Siwoo, don't touch that ball. That ball's still moving. Like, and he told him before he got to the ball, like, Kuchar was down, bent down, looking at it. So the referee came out and like they were going through and they were saying, yeah, listen, Kuchar explaining to the ref, it's well over time. But the ball was moving on the green. Like, you can't hit a moving ball. So I told him not to hit this, and then it just dropped in, like, but it's taken a minute. And they're saying, no, the rule on the green is you have to hit it within, like, there is a given time. And Kuchar was like, so you're telling him he had to hit a moving ball? And the ref was like, yeah, unfortunately, on the green, because the ball might be oscillating and slightly moving, but you still have the time limit, and that's it. Are you watching it?
No, this is the most scandalous piece of deja vu. This happened to Siwoo Kim before at the 2021 RBC. And who was playing with him that day?
Kuchar.
Kuchar was playing with him that day. Are you sure? Are you sure you're not just watching something from 3 years ago?
I don't know. I was watching this in the telecast the other day and I was like, this is bonkers.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Is Pete breaking two-year-old news here, is he?
Yeah.
This will have to be edited out, Jesus Christ. Honestly, did it? I thought they were playing with each other. I seen this, it come up on my Twitter feed, and I was like, no way.
Well, people can't see it. Is this what you're on about?
Yeah, okay, let's move on to the next thing.
I'm recording this my end as well. If you edit this out, I'm gonna stick it up.
Okay. Another
hello
break
and welcome to the Irish Golf.
There's this new tour that lads are talking about called Live Golf as well. It's gonna catch on, lads.
Ah, there's no way John Ram would go to that. I don't.
I'm not gonna live this down. Right, come on. Anyway, let's brush that one under the carpet. Seamus Power, right? Seamus Power. Did you see Seamus Power made the cut? It's, you know, he had a Friday 66, made it on the mark. But yeah, he got weekend play as well. It's good to see him making a cut, kicking on. He did finish tied 74th, but it's the first proper cut he's made really since the John Deere last July. So. Yeah, nice to see him making a bit of progress.
Birdied his last two holes, but at this stage, it's just about the reps, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can worry about the form come February or something like that. Like, it's just about, you know, getting back out playing competitive golf again, getting used to being back playing. Like, I wouldn't really read too much into those results.
And he's into all the signature events, finishing 50th last year on the FedEx Cup. So he kind of has his year mapped out calendar-wise. He's in all the big money events. He just needs a couple of decent weeks to get himself back up because the world ranking is slipping a little. So he just needs to keep going. But on the positive news, looking at it, so he surpassed 11 million in tour earnings this week, which is, that's huge, like, considering he's only been out there since 2017.
Considering where he was four or five years ago. Like.
It's an incredible amount of money. So fair play to him, yeah. Hard work pays off.
I would say the worrying thing about Pyro this week is that his putting stats were horrific. He was really good. It seemed like he was really good tee to green, really good around the greens. But he lost over nine strokes putting, which, I mean, I just looked at it. Had he been zero strokes gain for putting, he'd have been in the top 25. He'd have been like tied for 24th. Which, I mean, look, you know, these things, you know, anybody can have a bad week. Last week at the Century, he was good on the greens, but the rest of his game was a little bit ropey. And I suppose, look, when you're coming, you know, returning to competition, like, you know, you're going to have inconsistencies and everything. You're going to have a lot of that. Like, but I mean, he gave himself so many 6, 8, 9 footers this week and missed almost all of them. Like a lot of his birdies came on big par fives or the shorter par fours where, you know, it was really good short game or that's, you know, kick, he got the ball into near kick in range and tapped it in, but a lot of three putts as well. So anything kind of in that sort of anything outside the 4 foot range, he was struggling over this week. Yeah. So, but look, that happens, you know. So hopefully it's an aberration rather than a trend starting.
Yeah, no, it's a cut made like we were saying when the gun was to his head on Friday, he posted a moving like a 66 on that day to make the cut in the line. So he's shown positive signs of coming back from the injury, and it's all trust and reps, isn't it? Like Roland said, so.
And he had a little bit of help. Joel Damon had a 6 footer on the last hole, which would have, if he got it, he knocked 17 guys out. And Joel D, the man of the people, he duly missed.
He invited them all. Come on, lads. It's great cracking. Stay in Hawaii.
I would say he had 17 lads queuing to buy him a drink that evening.
Exactly. No, I think that's it from the PGA Tour anyway. There's plenty of other stuff to kick into. Like, there's like so much happening in global golf. Like we were saying, Keith Pelly, Elton John, as some lads call him, is off in April. Guy Kinnings to take over. Slumber's out the gap too later on the year. So, like, big moves at the top of global golf. I definitely didn't see Martin Slumber's stepping aside coming in, but I definitely seen Pelly and Jay Monahan will probably be next, you know, if you're to believe stuff online. But it's a strange dynamic that we're in between this kind of what's happening, what's going on. Are these guys going to get a deal done? And Pelly came out with some interviews when he effectively handed in his notice saying that he's not going till April, and he is a firm believer that between now and like the next 2 months, there is going to be a deal done to some extent. And it all seems quite positive, but I just found some of the stuff, like James Corrigan is always good for, you know, most of the stories he breaks are really, really good, and he is good insight into stuff that's happening at LIV. But he did reveal in an interview, Pelly, with James Corrigan, that he thinks stuff will be done. And he said in part of the same interview, Jay and Yasser had a good chat last week, which is 6th or 7th of January. They had a really good chat and revealed that was their first chat since June the 6th, which I find absolutely off the charts. That they're letting this thing, they're obviously just backed off from each other, letting it go through the courts, but they're not going through stuff. So the fact that they're talking again,
you have to think that is, you have to think that's a first face to face meeting, though, right? Surely they've like picked up the phone or sent each other.
You would hope so, but that's not. Yeah, you would hope so, but that's not the way the meeting came out. But it does seem that they're all like, there's been a lot of mood music lately as well. Like, you look at Rory's interviews, starting off with that Sky Sports one, how he toned things down a little, his sort of regrets, if you're to believe Greg Norman, falling on his own sword about his views. But like, he's planting different things in about talking about a world tour this week. Like, he wasn't even asked a question at the start of the week about a world tour, just asked a specific question, and then he goes straight into talking about a world tour and how it'll be good for golf. Then he's talking about where team golf fits into a global schedule last week on interviews. He came out in another interview last week warning fellow pros, give up your independence or face prize money cuts. So this is when you know something is really close, when someone like him is coming out sort of planting these seeds and just getting stuff out there. But like, it's a total opposite, like polar opposite. And it's the one thing I really enjoyed, the Sky interview he did with Keane and Carragher and the lads. But like, no one followed up on anything that he said, because it was like the polar opposite of stuff he's been spouting off for the last. It's the one negative on Rory, is just he trips himself up. Like, he is the press's dream. He just talks and talks and talks.
Yeah, he's had a complete U-turn. And like, on that Overlap podcast, no one could push him because they didn't know what he was talking about.
No, that's it. Like, so no, but it was a good interview though. It's nice to get he shared an awful lot more there than he normally would, because they're just
footballers
and athletes talking to each other, and more from the mental side of things. But he gave a lot away about the Masters and about his lead up to Augusta, and you know, Ian Wright was able to poke some stuff out of him, which was good.
Yeah, Wrighty, the big golfer.
But it's just, we're in this mad time where everybody knows it's unsustainable what's happening, and Rory is kind of planting those seeds. And I did see, like, I was reading stuff over the last couple of weeks on the value of golf and where it stands. And when you look back into last year, like in 2023, no golf telecasts were in the top 100 sports broadcasts in the States. And the highest viewed program from the year golf-wise was the Masters Sunday with 12.1 million viewers. That ranked 131st in the most viewed sporting events in the States. So like, you can take a lot of things from stats like that. And like, the number one argument I would say on it is like, golf's media rights deals, which are up for negotiation quite soon, they've been so generous for what remains a real niche sport. And like, players do have very overinflated expectations as to the rewards they deserve for playing golf, you know, and prize money, and where prize money has gone over the last. So like, that's why I think it's nailed on that they're going to get something done, because like, otherwise the PGA Tour are going to cease to exist the way things are going. Like, they're prize money and like, they're pricing themselves out of the market. Players' ideas of what they're worth is just off the charts.
Well, if Liv can get them weasel themselves a TV deal to get into UK and Irish market in Europe, PGA Tour is in serious trouble then. Yeah. People will watch it. People will watch it if that thing last night, the Sony Open, in a correspondence of John Rahm and Brooks Koepka and Cam Smith are going at it and Liv, you'll watch that over the Sony Open. Yeah, that's what the PGA Tour needs to be wearing.
It's just the value of it all, you know, where like, and that's what it's all boiling down to. You know, me and John Craven last year used to have ding dongs over about the commercial like side of it, and he was so against like even contemplating this, but like, it's happening now, and you're seeing guys like Brandl and like all these pundits that have, even on our channels, did you see our channels during the week? Tony, you put something up actually about Ronan, and Tony Johnson kicked off and went on it, and you'd Kevin Peterson quoting Irish golfer and stuff.
What?
On our Twitter. Yeah, it all kicked off the other day. Two boys having a ding dong. Yeah.
I look this up now. Yeah, you carry on. Mark, bring Mark in there. I'm busy.
I promise you, this isn't news from 2 years ago. No,
like, else. I wasn't even here 2 years ago, so it'd be a problem if it was.
It's an interesting time. The next few weeks are going to be hopefully interesting in a positive way, that we're seeing what 25, 26 is going to look like sort of landscape wise, and we can start getting golf back in 11 playing field and know where we're going and know what's happening.
I think with the PGA Tour as well, we're going to see now, we saw it to an extent last year, and we're probably going to see it even more this year now, is that there is going to be really like two tiers on the PGA Tour. You're going to have your signature events that are going to have the big names in it, and then these other events, which like the Sony Open was this week, where, you know, the field is, it's basically the tour filler, and those, it's just not going to, it's not going to do anything for TV ratings. You know, you might see a little bit of a jump in the signature events when you have your McIlroys and your Scottie Scheffler and those guys, but nobody's gonna be too bothered about, like, the Sony Open this year is gonna be watched by no more people than watched the Sony Open last year, probably less than watched it the year before. You're gonna see that's kind of that trend across the board in it, and yeah, as you said, like, golf is completely overselling its value at present, and
yeah. No, it's. I see Lowry's in the field this week as well for the American Express on the PGA Tour. So that was a nice shout that he got from that. He obviously knew about it before Christmas, and he wasn't going out to Dubai and starting the way he normally would. But he's someone as well that needs to kick on.
It's not,
you know,
a signature event though. It's one of the regular tour events. So he's in that anyway from his as a PGA Tour member.
But he needs to really play his way. Like, he needs to kick on the PGA Tour big time, and like, he needs to pick up some results like Grayson Murray has done and get himself into these bigger events.
Yeah, I would suspect that he may get an invitation into, I think, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am is the first, or well, the former Pebble Beach Pro-Am is the first one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've suspected that he may know that he's going to get an invite to that. Otherwise, I think he probably would have made a bit of an effort to try and, you know, play his way into the, you know, during the FedEx Cup fall season. But he just took a complete break from golf. So I'd imagine that he was kind of given a nod and a wink that, you look, you'd be okay for that one. But yeah, it's, he can't afford not to hit the ground running either. None of the guys outside the top 50, outside of those signature events, can afford a slow start to the year if they want to, you know, if they want to really, you know, cement their place in the in that top 50.
Oh, it is. No, anything else to hit on then from the States? I think that's pretty much it, is it?
That's pretty much, I would say.
Pretty much. You've something you want to do before we get into heroes and villains. You've something you want to do. Yearly predictions, you said.
Right. I wrote down a couple of things. A couple of over unders. We can check back, or I'll note them down and see what we say.
You're not allowed to predict anything about Donegal now.
Well, Sam's coming back to the hills. We know that much.
Oh, stop.
That's for sure. Right, we'll start it off with probably the annual one at this stage. Rory McIlroy major wins, over or under? Over 0.5 is the line. So basically, does Rory win a major or not this year?
Yeah, he wins multiple majors for me. He's gonna win two.
So Pete's going for the over.
He'll win one.
Ronan's going for the over. Okay, I'm going under. I hope this is one I hope I'm wrong on, but I'm playing the odds here.
Right, go on.
Right, next one. Number of starts by Tiger, not including the Hero or the PNC.
Number of starts.
Over or under 6.5.
I'd go over.
Yeah, I'll go over as well.
I think he's going to play 8.
I think he'll play.
So he's
going to
play
10,
the four majors. He's going to play the Genesis.
That's,
he's going to play. You need two more after that. I think I'm going to go over as well. I think he's going to play probably the Players and Bay Hill or the Memorial.
A really quick one. I know you have a set line of questions, but like, I just want to throw something into the works there. So at the Masters this year, who do you think finishes higher on the leaderboard, Tiger or Rory?
Rory.
Mark?
I mean, Rory, yeah. You have to say Rory, but...
It does make you think, though. It does make you think.
I mean, Rory first, Tiger second, what?
Yeah, go on. That'd be some final group. Yeah, I'm going for that. Yeah, Rory to get the green jacket, Tiger on the 18th.
Yeah. It's one of those ones, probably, if Rory makes the cut, he finishes higher than Tiger.
Easy, Tiger. But that's like blasphemous talk coming out of you there. Right, go on. Next and yours. I'm going Rory and
No.
Well.
I mean the two of them could make the cut, and Rory will play well over the weekend and finish with a top 10, and Tiger could play solid throughout and finish 25th. Right,
go on. Next one.
Combined Irish tournament wins on the DP World Tour, PGA Tour, LET, and LPGA. So effectively, we've got McIlroy, Power, Lowry, McKibben, Leona Maguire, Steph Meadow, Lauren Walsh, and Olivia Mahaffey are probably going to be the eight players that are going to be.
Are you counting seniors with Harrington?
No. Harrington good. Counts. Harrington counts if he wins in the PGA Tour or the DP World Tour, but not if he wins in the Champions Tour.
I'm
setting. Do you have to wait for the over under?
Go on.
But the over, I've set the over under at 6.5. So we're thinking in the same ballpark.
Yeah. I'm going under that. I'm an under on that.
Yeah, I'm going under. There are a few grey areas around this though. Like Leona Maguire could win on the LET, but play one of those Aramco events where all the LPGA stars go and play. It just counts over. Whereas, like, I don't think we'll have a proper LET winner this year from Walsh or Mahaffey.
But that win will count. So going for the over. You lads are taking the miserable bets. That's like back in there'd be no nine darter in the World Championships. Nobody wants to be on that bet.
They didn't even come close this year. But no, like Rory will win.
But nobody.
If Rory
has
a great year,
and
Rory wins two or three times, and then you know no one else is a guarantee. Leona might win once, and then that's maybe it.
Right. Well, we'll see. Obviously, we'll see. Then we have Shane Lowry major top fives, 0.5. So does he have a top five in him this year or not?
Yes, I think he does.
Yeah, over.
I'm going over. I'm going well over that. Like Shane is one of the best ball strikers in the game.
I think you have two top fives.
Yeah, it would not surprise me if Shane gets in contention and does. Really, I've already predicted that Rory's going to win two of the majors, so I'm putting Lowry down for the Open or something.
And who? McKibben, Harrington? Who's going to win the other one?
I know. I don't know. Mark Power. Mark Power could get his act together now and get into the PGA.
Well, he could get into the Open, US Open or Open Championship easily enough.
Exactly. Qualifying. Right, next.
Where are we next? Okay, we're now on to, Seamus Power world ranking by year's end. Over or under 89.5 in the world?
Oh, this is a sick thing. This is going to kill me.
He is currently ranked 89th.
I think under. I think he's actually going to steady the ship. Like, you have to base it on, and if you go the other side, I can totally understand why, but I'm basing that on his injury being behind him and looking at the ball striker that we know Seamus Power is. I know he had a bad putting week and you've highlighted that earlier in the pod, but like, he strikes the absolute shit out of it. He is such a quality player, and he spent years inside the top 50 in the world and comfortably inside the top 50 in the world. So yeah, I'm gonna go. He's gonna finish this year well.
I think because he's in all those big events on the PGA Tour this year, it's easier for him to retain his world ranking. So I'm gonna say under. I think he'll get back around the 70s, 80 mark. I think
that's three unders across the board. Then so I agree with all you said there. I think top 50 isn't definitely not without a reach for him.
Right, how many more of these you've left?
I've got three or four more.
Right, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
Right, Leona Maguire's highest finish in a major, over or under 3.5?
Highest finish in a major.
Does she have a top three in her this year in a major? And ties do count.
Yes.
Yes.
Was that yes from both there?
Yeah, yes for both. Yeah, no, I think that's categoric. I think she will. Yeah,
yeah, I think so too. Leona Maguire world ranking at the end of the year. She's currently 26th, setting the over under at 10.5.
She slipped though into the top. So over 10.5 in the world.
Yeah, at the end of the year.
Like, she hasn't been in the top 10.
She has been in the top 10, but briefly.
Yeah, for a while, a couple of weeks or a month max. Based on the major stuff, she's a top 10 player. So, and I do think she hasn't played much since the Solheim. So, yeah, I'm putting her down as, yes, she will get inside the top 10 in the world this year.
Ronan?
Oh, this is a tough one.
There's not, like, yeah, I'm backing them all. Like, we're backing all the Irish here. Like, yeah. So far we're going to have 27 tournament wins, 4 majors.
I know, in fairness, we've been careful here. We haven't gone for so many wins, but we're bigging up all these predictions. I'm going to say she'll get as high as 12.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, so you're going for the over then.
I'm going
to go for the over as well. I think she's going to have a really good year. I think she'll be very consistent, but wins are probably what's going to separate the top 10 from the rest. And I don't know that she's going to win enough to be in the top 10 by year's end. But I think she'll be really consistent.
It's all about the majors with the prize funds and the LET. It's all about the majors. So, yeah.
Okay. Last two.
Okay.
Tom McKibben, world ranking. He's currently, I lost this one. He's currently 160th, I think.
Yeah.
Right. What's the over
under? I'm setting it at 109.5.
Ah, easily. Tom McKibben's going to be in the top 75 in the world by the end of the year.
Yeah, he'll be in the top 100 by the end of the
year. Top 100, yeah. Like, that's what I mean. He will be definitely.
In saying that, a world number 160 is an absolute shambles for his ability, like, isn't it? It's just not reflective of how good he is at all.
No, 100%.
He should be way higher.
That's because he's not getting much of an opportunity to play in the bigger events in the States. He will make his way. Like, I do have, like, we don't have much to hang on to in Ireland of what's come true in the last number of years and actually moved on and did something on tour. And yeah, I do not think Tom McKibben will be waiting around on the DP World Tour for more than two seasons. I think he will claim one of these top 10 cards.
Okay. Yeah, well,
he said that's his goal for the year, to get one of the top 10 cards. So,
yeah, I think we're all going for the under there. We've been pretty unanimous across the board on most of these. A couple of ones we varied on, but the final one, Shane Lowry's world ranking at the end of the year. He's currently 43, and I'm setting it at 30.5.
Over for me. Because, like, from where he is to, like, 30.5, I think, is punching. But he is going to have a good season. But, like, even when he was having really good seasons, he was always in around the top 20 to 30 players, you know? You have to win a lot to get into. And he's not in the signature events, which is going to, I think, it's going to harm his chances.
Yeah, he probably, like, to get into the top 30, he probably needs to win at least once, have that major top five we're talking about,
and get into a four or five in the signatures. Outside of that. Yeah. He needs to get into a few signature events.
I'm going under.
Go on.
I know Shane Lowry just strikes me as a good 28 man.
Yeah, no, that's it.
28 well, that's, in the panel.
Well, hence why I set the over under at 30.5, just to lure you in there. But I'm going to go under as well. I fancy a good year from Lowry.
Now so, I do right. as well, but now it looks like I'm Lowry bashing. I'm not. I think he's going to have a great year. I just think he's starting off behind the eight ball because he's not in the signature events, and it'll be hard to get into them.
Right. So we're agreed on the. Actually, no. We vary on the major wins for Rory. I'm saying he won't. You're saying he will. All agreed on Tiger. All agreed on Seamus Power. All agreed on Leona top five top three in a major. I'm going over with the Irish wins and across the major tours. Both of you lads are naysayers.
Yeah.
You're going over in the Lowry world ranking, and you're going under on Leona in the top 10 in the world. Other than that, we're all agreed.
Yeah, right. We'll write all them down.
Have it all noted here. You see that?
Well, now, like, I don't have good history now with this, like, especially in this podcast now, with looking at me reeling stats from 2 years ago, like rules infringements from 2 years ago. So, yeah, Right, we'll have to go. We'll go straight into heroes and villains then. We might as well wrap it up at that. That was a nice meaty end to that. Any heroes?
Well, yeah, I have a hero, right? So it kind of hurts me a little bit to do this. And this is a little bit old news as well, but because this was a couple of weeks or like 10 days ago or something. But the guy, Jersey Jerry, I think his name is, from, he's one of the Barstool sports guys who pretty much I detest most of the time. This guy was doing a hole-in-one challenge in a simulator. Did you come across this?
No.
So he's obviously not a great golfer, but he was playing on a simulator, playing just par three. He just had to try and get a hole-in-one. He was at it for 37 hours. Took 2,627 shots. But he did it. His hands were in ribbons, bleeding. He was like,
he'd hands he like Alex Norris. Yes.
he was absolutely beat up, but he did it. And I had, like, there was massive numbers watching him on a YouTube live stream, apparently, and everything. So fair play to that man. That's some serious dedication to the craft.
Any heroes, Ronan, for you?
If
you think about it, no.
No, probably not. Ah, I'll give it to Tommy. Why not? I bashed him there last year during the summer with Mark on a podcast, so I'll give him this
one. That's right. You made him your villain because he missed a putt.
Yeah, and he still did. That was a shocking bogey on the 16th, by the way. I'm not completely giving the win to him. There's still something there. He let it go when he was leading, and that's not good enough.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think, I'm just going to go. Like, it was a toss-up for me between Fleetwood, and it's just nice to see someone like Francesco Molinari back. So, he's gone through a tough couple of years as well, so nice to see him back. So I'll split it between the two lads. Then villains. I'm going to kick off the villains by going last week at the Century. I'm going to go Jason Day for these new Malbon trousers that he's wearing and absolute abominations. The clothing that he's wearing. Between that and Ian Poulter having a bit of a rant during the week about the world ranking points again after Chris Kirk's sort of botched job on the points last week, and he has a little swipe. So
I'm delighted with Day wearing the baggy stuff. That's the sign that the baggy stuff's going to be coming back in fashion, which means I'll be coming back in fashion.
Yeah, I never thought about that, actually. Maybe I'm going to... maybe Jason Day's on something there.
The bootlegs are back, are they? Is that what you're saying to me?
Hey, man, all we need to do is now get him in a pair of brown shoes and we're sorted.
Right, go on. You're a villain, Mark.
Who did I have for this? Oh, the... No, hold on a second. I had somebody good a second ago. But you go run and I'll see if this comes back to me.
Mine's the not so Barbie Ken Wayand, just waste of time.
Yeah.
I actually felt really bad for Richard Mansell, who played the first two rounds with him, but also had to play the two rounds with two amateurs as well. Like, that's tough going. That's not easy.
He's played a double pro-am.
Honestly. And I'd say he was worse than the amateurs that Ken.
Can you imagine the amateur actually that he got?
God, yeah.
Never even thought of that. He used to play with an amateur for 3 days. Right, go on, Mark. You're a villain.
I remembered mine. The villain is Keith Pelly, because as some fella pointed out in a response to our article, he brought in the WHS. He's responsible for the rollback.
Yeah. They were blaming Keith Pelly for everything. Yeah, no, I seen that. It was bonkers. Yeah, but like, no.
This week on the DP World Tour is a Rolex event, and just no one cares about those anymore because they just completely failed.
Yeah, exactly. No, it is.
Cheers, Keith.
It was a good effort.
Cheers.
It was a good effort. Right. That's obviously a tongue-in-cheek villain. We don't really hate Keith Pelly for those reasons here.
It was good catch up, lads. Good to get back into the swing of things. We will be at this weekly now again. We're not going to be missing weeks like we have been over the last month and taking an extended Christmas break. So we'll be back next week as a three ball again. And cheers for tuning in. We will have equipment segments as well later on in the month. We're going to be doing stuff with Concept Golf on all of the new equipment that's coming out and taking a look at things from that. I promise next week I won't be as dated with my 2 year takes on rules infringements as well. Yeah.
Oh, no, please do.
I'm going to have to leave that in there now. But like, cheers for tuning in, guys. And we will chat to you next week. Thanks.